First scripture reading this morning is found in the Old Testament, the 52nd Psalm. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long, your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth. Selah! You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah! The righteous will see and fear, and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, See the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches, and sought refuge in wealth. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because of what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself heaven or in earth by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature through heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in God's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Just a note before we have prayer. I know that 2 weeks ago, when I was with you last, I preached about heroes and I used Superman. So it may be, you might think today that I'm on a superhero kick, but I'm not. It just worked out this way. I doubt that you'll hear about superheroes now for a long time, but you're going to hear about them today. I also have to say that when I step into the pulpit after I have been to General Synod, I am always feeling a little intimidated because I have just come from a week of hearing these tremendous preachers, and I feel so small, and how I wish that I could preach like them. So, give me a little grace today, just in case. I might be a little nervous because I'm remembering all of this in my head. With that in mind, let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts Be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I also have to apologize for these jokes this morning because they are so bad. What do you get when you cross an apple with Spider-Man? What? Oh, no, nice guess. Cider-Man. Who is Thor's favorite singer? What would you get if Batman and Robin were smashed by a steamroller? Flat man and ribbon. Growing up, I had the wonderful blessing of living next door to my maternal grandparents. And Sunday afternoons during warm weather were often spent having Sunday dinner beneath the apple trees, along with my mom's brothers and their families. And my Uncle Bob, who was my mom's oldest brother, he was my very favorite uncle. And his middle daughter, Bianca, who was a year older than I, was my favorite cousin. And we had numerous childhood adventures together, shall we say. And we would often spend the weekend next door at my grandparents' house. And on Saturday mornings, armed with our 25-cent allowances and another quarter that my grandmother would slip into our hands with a whisper, "Don't tell your moms," we would walk together the 3/4 of a mile to Davis Drugstore. And there we would sit at the soda fountain feeling so grown up and have a green river. Now, have any of you ever experienced a green river at the soda fountain? Yes, all right. I don't know if it's a southern thing or what, but, a Kentucky thing. Well, actually, I guess they bottle it now in Chicago. But anyway, the soda fountain was made with syrup and some soda water, and it was the most magnificent shade of green you ever saw. And that was 10 cents. Then we got down to serious business of selecting a comic book or two. And comics at that time cost between 12 cents and 15 cents. Now, Bianca favored Little Lulu and Richie Rich. But I had gotten hooked on a fairly new comic book called The Fantastic Four. Now, the Fantastic Four, how many of you know the Fantastic Four? Okay, some. It's a superhero team that was created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee in 1961, just as the space race was starting to heat up in America. And the team consisted of brilliant scientist Reed Richards, his girlfriend, who later became his wife, Sue Storm, very good. Her brother, Johnny Storm, who was always my favorite. And Reed's best friend, Ben Grimm. And he was an astronaut. And during a mission to outer space, the four are exposed to cosmic rays that imbue them with superpowers. Because you can't have superheroes unless, you know, they get radiation poisoning. So Reed becomes Mr. Fantastic, and he can bend and stretch to superhuman proportions. And Sue, aka the Invisible Girl, who was later changed to the Invisible Woman, she could turn invisible, as her name says. And she could also produce powerful force fields. And Johnny became the Human Torch. He could generate flames with his body, and he could fly. Flame on. And Ben's superhuman strength and durability due to the rock-like skin that he developed. And he called himself The Thing. And his slogan was, "It's clobbering time." Well, a new Fantastic Four movie opened this weekend, and I have been too busy to see it, but I know that in the film, they face a supervillain who wants to destroy the Earth. The Fantastic Four will be facing a godlike enemy in this movie, one who, like I said, wants to destroy the earth. I am which has always been since this universe was birthed. I am the hunger that dooms worlds. I am he who is beyond such frail concepts as good and evil. I am Galactus. Dun, dun, dun. In the world of Marvel Comics, there are not many villains as powerful as Galactus. A godlike figure with an insatiable hunger, he sustains himself by draining planets of their energy. He's been around forever, and he destroys worlds without regard to traditional mortality, or morality for that matter. He simply wants to eat. And when Galactus comes to Earth, the only heroes that stand a chance against him are the Fantastic Four. And even though I haven't seen the movie, I have no doubt that they will prevail. And Mr. Fantastic says he just wants to make a difference. Now, speaking of making a difference, the Apostle Paul describes an incredibly powerful cosmic being in his letter to the Colossians. Like Galactus, this being is that which has always been since the universe was birthed. But unlike Galactus, he saves instead of dooms. Paul is, of course, talking about Jesus Christ. And we often think of Jesus as a mild-mannered first-century rabbi walking the dusty roads of Galilee, and that is certainly a critical part of who he is. But like a Marvel superhero, he has a life and identity that goes far beyond the earth. He is the image of the invisible God. There is no cosmic being more powerful than Christ, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, says Paul, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things came into being through Jesus Christ, and without him not one thing came into being. He has power over all things, says Paul, and in him all things hold together. I mean, so often in our world, it seems like Galactus is in charge, pulling our lives apart. However, Jesus Christ is acting to reconcile to God all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And his amazing work goes what you would see in a superhero movie. And best of all, it's real. The Fantastic Four may be fun to watch, but real power, the power to make a difference, is found in our cosmic Christ. The good news is that when we encounter our own world-shaking challenges, we have access to the greatest power in the universe. What happens when we put our trust in Jesus versus Galacticus? Excuse me, Galactus. I always want to add an extra syllable there. To begin with, Jesus creates instead of destroys. He supports the covenant that God made with the earth and all living things. When your world is falling apart, Jesus is working to pull it back together. When your plans go awry, Jesus is creating something new. When you are feeling overwhelmed by your sins and your shortcomings, Jesus is making peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus is all about restoration, renewal, and forgiveness. He wants to make us right with God and with each other so that we will be holy and blameless and irreproachable. In every situation, you can trust Jesus to do this creative work. He is the exact opposite of Galactus, the destroyer. Jesus is also the head and the body, the church. In him God was pleased to dwell. In addition to being a creator of worlds, Jesus is the head of the community known as the church. And it is in Jesus that we see the fullness of God's powerful love. Jesus rejects what is evil, acts with peace instead of violence, and works for the common good. And to illustrate his commitment to community, Jesus becomes the head of the body, the church. Our church constitution, like many in our tradition, states almost from the beginning that Jesus Christ is the sole head of this church. And the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about the church and the ways in which its members are challenged to behave. Bear one another's burdens, he says to the Galatians. Do not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Jesus is the head of a community that works for the common good. Galactus works only to satisfy his hunger. And finally, Jesus invites us to join an adventure that is more exciting than the Fantastic Four first steps. He asks us to put our energy and imagination into being his representatives in the world today. And Paul was one of the first to accept this challenge as he became a minister according to God, to make the word of God fully known. He wanted to reveal the mystery of Jesus to everyone so that they might enjoy the hope of glory. The same invitations are given to us today to take a step toward making the Word of God fully known by what we say and what we do, to reveal the mystery of Jesus to those who need to see him, and to help them realize that God loves them and wants to give them a more abundant life. In a world that so often plays by the rules of Galactus, we have discovered a better way to live. So let's show the world our superpowers. They come not from invisible cosmic rays that transformed the Fantastic Four during an experimental space flight. No, they come from the cosmic Christ, who is the image of our invisible God. With Christ at work in us, we can show people God's powerful love. We can bear one another's burdens. We can work for the good of all. We can share the good news of forgiveness and reconciliation made possible by the blood of Christ. And when we join this adventure, we will be connecting ourselves to the greatest power in the universe, the one who has always been since this universe was birthed. The Savior who heals, lives. The one who shows the power of good over evil. Not Galactus, but Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.